Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
The fate of our children is worth living for, or dying for, or dedicating our lives to, because God commands it.
God's plans are never limited to one generation. They extend through time, shaping the future through our sons and daughters. In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil continues with the series, Our Divine Next. He reminds us that God has called us to disciple the next generation, ensuring that His truth is passed down, not as mere tradition, but as a living, breathing faith that transforms lives. He emphasized that our children's faith is worth everything, our time, resources, and even our very lives. Why? Because God commands it, history affirms it, and the kingdom depends on it. So, we have to teach, pray, mentor, and commit the truth to them. As believers, we are entrusted with shaping the next generation for Christ. This is not optional. It's our divine assignment. May we rise to the occasion, knowing that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Our Divine Next, Part 4.
Today is a third principle that if the divine next is preordained, then you and I need to understand that God's plans is not only for adults. It includes our sons and our daughters. It includes... Let's say that again. It includes... It is good for a father or a mother to go to work and make money and put food on the table, put clothes on the backs of their children, but it does not make sense that you'll be absent. Because God has a plan for their lives. You are the conduit God is going to use to begin that plan. And today we are going to understand that truth. And I'm going to ask that all of us will become enlisted in the army of God to raise up our sons and our... I believe that most of you have seen what God is doing with the young people in this church. Some of you, you are behaving like you haven't even seen it. Today, I am not here to scold you, but to remind you that we need you. We need you enlisted and ready to work. We need you because we believe there is something on the inside of you that could be used to help this young generation. Are you understanding me? How many of us are just going to be so excited if one day we found out that one of the kids in this country have become the president in this nation? Make the investment one right now. Make the investment what? Right now. Most of us, God has put so much into us. Because you are not using it, you are gossiping. I want you to change it and use it. Because there is so much invested in you. Amen. You don't come to church Sunday because you feel like it. Because there's a work to be done. I said, there's what? A work to be done. Amen. God's plan for our sons and our daughters. Let's explore that concept first of all, and then I'll teach other things. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at verse 6 to verse 9. Here God is instructing the children of Israel. We are not the Israelites. I'm laying a basis. And he says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verses 6 to verse 9. Are you there with me? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from 6 to 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Where are the commandments supposed to be? Where are the commandments supposed to be? On our hearts. Here he's talking to the adults. So he's saying that I want the commandment to be on your heart. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Everybody say impress. Circle, highlight that word. He said, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Impress, number two, talk about them. So impress it on them, talk about them. And he gives you some pictures that says, do it both formally and informally. He says, talk to them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Verse 8, tie them. So impress, talk, and tie. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Verse 9, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So God is saying, if there are things you are supposed, you want to communicate to your children, there's no need going to the store and buying a nice placard. Make your own and write what you want to communicate and hang it. Did you hear that? The other ones you are buying, people wrote them. Some of the brothers here and sisters here, they are good at drawing. Tell them, this is what I want to say. I want to hang it in my house. Can you draw it for me and give it to me? And after that, please pay them. Don't be cheap. And take it home and put it there. Amen. So we see that God has an agenda. Look at verse 20 to verse 22 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We are still at the same chapter. He says, in the future, when your sons ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and the laws that the Lord our God commanded you, tell him or tell that kid, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. So God says, this is one of the things you can tell them. Tell them the stories of your life. How that the Lord has what? Delivered you. How that the Lord has what? Delivered you. Psalm 71, we are exploring the idea that God's plan includes our children. So from the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I want you to be able to tell them the very things that I have taught you already. Impress, talk, tie, write. Can you say that with me? Good. Are you in Psalm 71? Look at verse 18. Here David is speaking, and he said these words. If you can read with me, it will be so great. Psalm 71 and verse 18. He says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I have declared your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who come. Simply declare the mighty acts of God to the next what? I want to ask you, have you really taken the pain to start doing that? Sometimes we tell the kids our difficulties, but you must also tell them when the Lord takes you through the difficulty, this is why it is okay for them to come along and say, hey, here are the things we are dealing with in this home. Come and pray with me. So when they see what the Lord has done, they will learn it. Psalm 78. So here we see that David says, I have a duty towards the younger generation, even when I'm old, but make sure that I don't go into my grave until I'm able to do it. Psalm 78, I'll read the first 8 verses. Here, I think it was Asaph speaking. And he says, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. In other words, don't just tell them Anansi's stories. Tell them about Jehovah God and how that he's able to deliver and set free. Sometimes some of us, we just want to teach them our culture. Yes, good, do that. But teach them about Jesus. Let's continue to read. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation. We will tell the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Notice what is to be told. God's power. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, which he commanded. So God commands us to teach certain things to our children. Why? Verse 6, so the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn will tell their children. Then they will put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandment. They will not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation. So God is saying, you have a duty to teach the next generation so that they don't become rebellious and stubborn people. So that they become loyal to God. It says, whose hearts are not loyal to God. Those people were not... their hearts were not loyal to God, so that they will become faithful to the Lord. Are you with me? Let's continue to look at God's plan. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 28. It is a very popular verse. And afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit, where? On all people. The next few words, read with me. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. How many of our sons and daughters are prophesying? If they are not, it means you and I have a work to do. I know this is not an easy message to preach among immigrants, because we came here for money. Everything is filtered in the lens of money. But you must remember that one day you will not be there. What happens to all the things you look for? I have my will written. I have made it very clear when I'm not alive what needs to happen. If I say they should just carry me and burn me, don't go preach. I wrote it, what I want. But there's one thing I've also made a decision I will do. Never to leave the shores of this nation without leaving an imprint here. And you are capable of doing the same. But sometimes we need to be reminded. And that's why I'm here this morning. To remind you. Because if you are not careful, your bills will let you forget that you are here for more than bills. Did God create you just to pay bills? No, there has to be something more than bills. We see these words also echoed in the New Testament, where Peter stands up and he tells them on the day of Pentecost, he says, in the last day, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters, your sons and what will our sons and daughters do? They will prophesy. Prophesy means they will declare the word of the Lord. Who is going to teach them? You and me. They will declare the word of the Lord. And I want you to understand, fathers, when you go to work and you come back and you are tired, you still have a duty to declare the word. Don't leave everything to mommy. Do some of the work. Daddy, did you hear me? Do some of the work. As a church of Jesus, we cannot continue to neglect the children. If somebody asked you, how many people are in your church? What would be your answer? Who are the ones you will count? See, most of the time, we count the adults. I gave an answer like that one time at a place, and the person was like, is Pastor lying? So when we finished, he asked me, Pastor, you know we are not that many. I said, yes, we are. He said, oh, I know when everybody comes. I said, when everybody comes, we are still more than that. He said, what are you counting? I said, the ones you are not counting. I said, so you're telling me that your child is not a human being. And they are not eternal souls that God is interested in. You see, the church culture has taught us that the children are really not important, but the battle in America is the battle for the souls of our children. Today, I want you to change your attitude. I said, I want you to what? Change your attitude. So what is the divine next for Covenant Family Chapel? What is the divine next? It is simple. To disciple the next generation. God wants you and I to disciple the next generation. Not only our children, but the children beyond us. And I wanted to pay attention to what God is doing in this building. Why he's raising up young people. Some of you, your kids have not joined the kids. You are keeping them at home. Don't wait till trouble strike before you bring them to me. If you pay for music, pay for other things, then it is okay to buy gas, put it in your car, and bring them here every Sunday morning. Them showing up here Sunday morning for a service is only just the beginning. There are more important things I do believe that God wants you to do. If the kids were going to be given something that would take them to the White House, how many of you wouldn't drop them every Sunday morning here? You will. I want you to see the importance. I've already heard many people say, very soon I'll build my house back in my country and I'll retire over there. You see, it's the mindset. Because you are thinking you'll build back there and go and stay there, you've made up all your plans to go back there. So whatever happens here with our children really doesn't matter to you. Me, I'm going nowhere. I'm here. Because God brought me here. I gave back to the children here. So I stay here and I raise them. And in my old age, I look at them and mentor them until they become who God wants them to be. Stop following the mold, because some people who don't know God came and then they went back. That's what you're looking at. Today, I implore you, move out of that. Go visit, but come back. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there's work to be done. Can you see a young one that we have raised get to a place and they are discouraged and they can see you and you and you, three of us, come together and we are praying for them? How are they going to feel? He said, I've sensed the old adults in our church praying for me. They will stand for the Lord. Not when you are so many miles away. Are people not living here in their old age? Talk to me. Are people not living here in their old age? See, now you can't talk because you made up your mind you are going. You're going nowhere. I'll pray you here. Because there's work to be done. I said, there is what? Work to be done. And you will thrive and have a good life here. Why? Because there's work to be done where? Here. We will go back home and help, but we will come back here because this is where you spend most of your life. Most of you came here in your 20s. Now you are in your 50s. It means you've lived here longer than you've lived back there. So there's work to be done here. Everybody put your hands here. Cycle it like this and say, it's time to change our thinking. Our divine next is that there is a generation to disciple. I said there's a generation to disciple. I want to ask you a question. What is the fate of your children worth? If you look at your child, what is their faith worth to you? $100,000? What is the worth of your children's faith? What is the faith of the next generation? What is the worth of their faith? The answer is simple. It is worth everything. Your life, your time, your money, your possessions. It's worth pretty much what? Everything. Let me put it down this way. The faith of our children is worth something to live for, die for, and dedicate our lives to. Did you hear what I just said? Instead of you to complain about crook politicians, can't we get some of our children going to Harvard Law and all the other law schools, coming out, and then a few of our men will say, we stand with this child to disciple them until they become good lawyers who will stand up for righteousness. And then those who have business will bring money together and we campaign for them until they win and go to the house. When they are there, wouldn't they put in righteous laws instead of putting crooked people and now praying for the crooked to change? Disciple them now. I want you to shift your mindset and change your mentality. There's something more important to do. Amen and amen. So there are a few practical things I will talk about. But before I get there, let me make this statement that the fate of our children is worth living for or dying for or dedicating our lives to because God commands it. God what? I bet you there are people sitting in this room. There are children we gave birth to. The only reason God did not allow you to give birth to them in Todiasi, but here, is because there is a purpose for them in this country. How in the world are you, do you want to just leave them and run away? Keep your focus. Because the focus had always been about a few dollars. There are destinies that are at stake. There are things that ought to be done. There is a race to run. There are challenges that we need to rise up for. There are demonic powers that need to be brought down. And God has chosen you. The words were said to Esther. And who knows that you have been brought into this country for such a time as this. Don't settle for just some meager dollars. Rise up and tell you, I am going to pray one kid in this church until they see Jehovah. Amen. The kids could be rebellious. I get that. But the more you complain, Satan wins. But the more you get on your knees and begin to cry out, this one shall not fool. This one will become the child of the king. This one is going to rise up in this land. This one will take the word of God and preach. This one will rise up and begin to wage warfare as God wants them. I pray today that somebody is listening to me and hearing my words and telling themselves, I have been made a midwife like Shipra and Paul to the generation that has been wiped out by the pharaohs of our day. I know there are needs. I know. But God is calling us to a much higher plane. And when you get on that plane, he will take care of the other stuff. Satan wants to occupy you with the things down here. But God says, can you rise and come up? Because when you are up there, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. That's my prayer for you, that you will stand on a higher plane. The fate of our children, secondly, is worth living for and dying for and dedicating our lives to because history shows it. Throughout the histories in this country, both from the first, second, third awakening, all the people who led it, Jonathan Edwards, he was just a teenager. So from today, don't ever say Covenant Family is this number based on adults, because the kid sitting around you is an eternal soul God wants to use to do a work. This is why I love our Sunday school teachers. Amen. But today I'm going to challenge you, Sunday school teachers, there's a step we need to go. It's time we stop buying the books that other people have written. There are books in you. Develop the lesson and write it. I will help you to make it theological, and we will print it and use it. Only a few people were saying amen. Because you're always worried about how much time you are putting in. I want you to die empty. Because you would have given everything out. The day I die, I'll be empty. Because every second, every moment means something to me. And I know it does, but sometimes we forget. And I'm here this morning to remind you, do not forget who you are. I said, do not what? In fact, I read a statistic that said that if you have $5 in your bank account, you are part of the top 5% rich people in the world. $5. How many of you don't have five? Yet you are crying, God, will you make me rich? You are richer than the 95% of the people in the world. You don't even know what you have. May the Lord help us. I said, may the Lord what? I am here to kind of challenge you, but at the same time, correct you and help you to become what you're supposed to be. Instead of watching TV, put it on DVR and come and help the young people. Later on, go watch it. Somebody said amen? Amen. I know you are listening. So number one, we said that the faith of our children is worth living for, dying for, and dedicating our lives to because God commands it. Secondly, because history shows it. But thirdly, because the future of the kingdom of God depends on it. God is not going to come down himself. He's always going to use people, you and me. So the future of the kingdom of God depends what? On it. Now, let me take time and show you something. How many of you know the average age of the disciples of Jesus? The Bible never tells us, but there are clues in the scriptures to be able to guess it. Remember, in Jewish tradition, no student was going to be older than the rabbi. And since Jesus chose them at 30 years old, they were all below 30. They were all below 30. So how come we count church members and we don't count the ones that Jesus saw they are capable of changing the world? Because we think they are little kids. Here in this church, we are done. No more cartoons. Because there are things people are teaching these children. And let us not live under the illusion of cartoons. Because they are good concepts they can understand. That is why I believe you and you and you and you and me, we can write our own books because we know them and present that truth to them. Are you learning anything today? Do I need to stop? So now let's look at the all-important question. How do I disciple these children? All throughout, I was reading a communique, and it said that Muslims have decided they will take over, they've decided that they will take one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth. They will take over by 2050. So guess what they are doing? They are sponsoring young people into that nation. So the president of that nation is also finding ways to send them back. Sometimes you see all the politics, but you will not see the dynamics of the things that are below. I want people in this church to begin to change their thinking. Young people, all of you who are graduating and about to leave college, understand that there is work to be done. And it doesn't matter where you are posted to go and work in this country. Remember that this church raised you. And don't forget your alma mater. Remember that it was this place where you were placed in the crucible of being brought up so that you are who you are today. Come and ask, how can I help from a distance? I could have done a lot to help my kids go to Harvard and all the other places, but I chose to keep them close so they can come to church still and help with work. There's something that I'm seeing. I am not just saying also that they will have a big name, because the big name won't take them nowhere. In fact, Augustine, if you remember, I don't know if you remember when we were in first year, and then they doing, is it called matriculation? Then after that, it's like they welcome you. It's not a commencement, but it's the beginning one, right? And then when they were calling the schools, the school I came from, I was the only one. But guess what? I was on top of the class till I finished. The people who came from the Ivy League high schools, I put them under me. I subdued them till we were done. If you will pour into your children, it's not an Ivy League school that makes them. Because I've seen kids who come out of Ivy League schools and they are crooks. There is work to be done. I said, there is what? Tell the person sitting next to you, I think it's time we go to work.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.